Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes. With Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, and the keynote, all inviting you to...
Thank you, listeners. As you may have guessed from the unaccustomed warmth of that reception, we are playing away this week. Yes, we are broadcasting the show from the lovely city of Plymouth.
No. No, Finchley, no.
Beautiful Plymouth, rich in historical associations.
No, Finchley, no, we're at Bristol.
It must be Plymouth. Look at my railway ticket. It's got Plymouth on it.
Yes, it's also got 1949 on it, but... That doesn't mean it's the year. You see, Betsy, well, actually, I've got a confession to make.
Yes.
You see, the BBC gave me the money to buy all the cast railway tickets. Well, it seemed a waste to buy new ones when I've got so many old ones at home.
So that's why every time the ticket collector came round, you made me roll up my trousers and sit on Al McCogan's lap.
Yes, but it was your own idea to do it in the tunnels as well.
Well, I'm ashamed of you, Jim. I think it's just out and out fraud, just plain and simple embezzlement. That's what I think.
Well, Bentley, I was going to split the fair money with you.
But then who cares what I think? Anyway, what's the BBC's idea of organizing this excursion in the first place?
That's what everybody's asking. Actually, it's a thing called public relations. It proves that our public doesn't consist only of relations. As a matter of fact, they're doing it with several shows. We've just been sent out as the Vanguard.
Yes, and if your tickets don't work, we'll go back in the guard's van.
So now that we've explained the situation, I think the only way we can win back this audience is to get June Whitfield on to charm them. Oh,
Yes, please. Hello, everybody. Being here in the city as well, the three champion as you manage to folk my...
Oh, Bristol, Miss Bristol.
Eh?
Bristol.
But Jimmy, my ticket says nothing.
Never mind what your ticket says.
Well, you
did. Yes, no, look, we'll explain afterwards. Well, looks like a three-way split now, Jim.
Yeah. Look at the audience, too. Listen to them, dead quiet, faces like thunder. Alma, quick, soothe the savage breath.
Okay, Jimmy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've chosen a song which is really very suitable to your lovely city. Here is I Belong to Glasgow.
No!
We're really not apart. Paper kisses tend to show what you really want to know. That I love and need you so with all of my loving heart. Kiss these lips you see beside my name. For with them I'm sending love that's tender and unending. Paper kisses you can share. With all of my loving heart. Kiss these lips you see beside my name. For with them I'm sending love that's tender and unending. Paper kisses you can share anytime and anywhere. Paper kisses say I care. With all of my loving heart, with all of my loving heart, all of my loving heart, with all my loving heart.
What's your Jim? I'm sorry I'm late, but I didn't like to travel down with you poor people. So I chartered a special train all to myself. 6 carriages, Pullman, 2 dining cars and a guard's van. Just for me. Oh, it's lovely being rich.
Well, it's wealthy was.
You should see my house. Smothered in art treasures. My missus has got her boudoir all done up à la française.
You want to get boudoir done up à la française, too? It's boudoir.
Oh, parfait merci. Anyway, she's got French paintings hung all over the shop. Couple of screw-loose Lautrex, a Van Gogh over the gas fire, a nice Renoir over the washstand.
Oh, yeah.
Look, as a matter of fact, while I'm here, I thought I'd like to buy some work of Bristol craftsmanship take home as a present.
How about the old china?
That's who the present's for. Trouble is, you see, I don't know much about Bristol.
Oh, my goodness, we can soon put that right. Oh, yes. With the aid of Bentley, June, Dunners, and a supporting cast of thousands, here is Tyfe's Guide to Bristol.
Bristol, jewel of the Southwest.
A bustling city whose thriving industries include cigarettes,
chocolate,
jam,
soap,
pickles,
cardboard,
leather,
rope.
And they served us the lot in the dining car coming down. But every visitor to beautiful Bristol is asked,
have you seen the Clifton Suspension Bridge?
It is located at Clifton, Bristol's quartier latin, or posh part.
It is approached from famed Clifton Down, a rural paradise used by Bristolians for bird watching, botanical rambles, and snogging.
The bridge, with a span of 702 feet, describes awe-inspiring Clifton Gorge, wherein a sheer drop of 245 feet below tumbles the beautiful River Avon.
We're sorry about all this guidebook stuff, listeners, but it goes down a treat with the locals here. And after all, they're paying for the booze up afterwards. Mind you, it is all gents.
Oh, yes, yes, the Lord Mayor and the town clerk themselves took us on the bridge this afternoon.
And there, gentlemen, straight down there, that's the River Avon.
Oh, remarkable, Your Worship.
Yes, and if you don't believe it's 245 feet down, I'll just push something over the side. You can count how long it is before the splash. Now.
One, two, three, four. Oh, well, so much for the town clerk.
Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling, the young chevalier. 'Twas on the Monday morning, quite early in the year, when Charlie came to woo and woo the young chevalier. Oh, Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling, the young chevalier. And he came walking up the street, the pipe was loud and clear. And all the folk came running out to meet the chevalier. Oh, Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling, the young chevalier.
With heel and bonnet on the heads and claymore bright and clear,
they came to fight for Scotland, pride of the young chevalier. Oh, Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling, the young chevalier. They blessed their bonny heel and held their wives and bairnies dear,
to draw the sword for Scotland, for the young chevalier.
Oh, Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. Charlie is my darling, the young chevalier.
Charlie is my darling, the young chevalier.
Tyfe's Talking Point. Once again, we meet the Grants, our family of ordinary people facing life's problems. Today, their talking point is, when an engaged couple are sitting together on a sofa, do actions squeak louder than words? Over to the Grants.
Oh,
did have a fright when I saw the fire engine outside your house. Oh, Ron, if it wasn't a fire, why did you call the fire brigade?
My head got jammed inside the birdcage, yeah?
Oh, Ron, how could you? Those lovebirds deserve a little privacy.
Wasn't that, eh? It was Dad. He jammed the birdcage over my head.
But why, Ron?
'Cause I painted the birdcage with his shaving brush, eh?
Oh, Ron, he must have been very peeved.
So was I, eh? When I couldn't get the cage off my head, I lost my temper. I glared at Dad through the bar.
Oh, Ron.
And eh, I called him a word.
What word, Ron?
Rather not say, eh?
You can tell me, Ron. Oh, go on, whisper it.
Right, O, eh? I said, Dad, you're a...
Oh, Ron! What made you pick that word?
I like it, eh?
I don't know. Ron Glum, that violent temper of yours will be your downfall. I only hope you've apologized to Mr. Glum.
No, Eff, we're not talking.
Good evening, Ethel. I shan't say the customary hello, 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 in case a certain somebody might think I'm addressing him and direct a further flow of foul language upon his father's old grey hairs.
Mr. Glum.
Please, please, just ask the nice, refined gentleman to pass me the outside cover of the Radio Times. I'm going down to the fish shop for four penny.
Oh, Mr. Glum, it's silly to let this quarrel drag on just because you refuse to give way either. Oh, you're so much like Ron.
Oh, that's right. Insult me. You know what your precious fiancé did, don't you? He ruins my shaving brush, and then, just because I happened to gently chide him with the aid of a birdcage, well, he calls me a word I'd hesitate to call my own wife.
I know you've got good cause to be angry, Mr. Glum.
Not angry, Ed. Not angry. Just deeply hurt. To think that a son has so little respect for his father, well, he'll soon be rid of me. I shan't be here much longer.
Where are you going, Dad?
Oh, it's spoken, has it? It's condescended to address its aging parent. Well, let me tell you this, my lad, I'm not standing for that word you call me.
Ron is sorry and he wants to be friends again, don't you, Ron?
Yes, yes.
Well, go on then. Shake hands.
Right now, eh?
Not with her. With me. And there you are, then. Remember in future, my children. Oh, just a moment. All right, Mother, the fish shop don't close till 10. Remember, my children, respect for parents. They won't be cold. I'll run all the way back. Right, hang on. I'll go up and settle her hash.
Oh, Ron, I'm so glad peace has been restored again.
Oh,
dear. Oh, Mr. Glum, what's happened?
Oh, Ron.
Yes, Dad?
Give me a hand to get this flipping birdcage off.
Our love affair will be such fun.
We'll be the envy of everyone.
All those famous lovers, we'll make them forget.
From Adam and Eve,
tell me more,
to Scarlet and Red.
When you has had its merry fling,
we'll spend our evenings remembering. remembering
two happy people who stay on the square. Is not a lovely love affair.
Our love affair was meant to be.
It's me for you, dear, and you for me.
We'll fuss, we'll quarrel, and tears start to brew.
But after the tears,
what then?
Our love will smile through.
I'm sure that I could never hide.
Oh, the thrill I get when you're by my side. And when we're older, we'll proudly declare, isn't that a lovely love
affair? Waiter! Brandies and soda, please. I say, Edwards, I heard that stuff you chaps were doing about the Clifton suspension thing. It's a magnificent piece of engineering, isn't it? Well, it quite takes my breath away.
Yes, and at the rate your grace has been bashing the brandy, that is a consummation devoutly to be wished.
Edwards, why was the bridge built in the first place? I mean, what? Oh, what was that?
Questions. I don't know, some dowager duchesses do have them. Look, Your Grace, I'll tell you what, sit tight and we'll tell you the whole story.
History books tell us that the Clifton Suspension Bridge, 702 feet long, 245 feet high, was designed in 1832 by Isambard Brunel. But our story begins earlier than that with a young inventor by name Ichabod Bentley.
Yes, the year was 1812 from the overture of the same name. I, Ichabod, was staying with my young widowed cousin, Mrs. Amelia Wilson. Her house was perched right on the very edge of Clifton Gorge. It was a rather lofty spot to stay, but I liked Amelia's pretty face and the view below.
I, Amelia, had not long been widowed. My late husband had slipped out one dark night for a drop of something. It turned out to be a drop of 245 feet. However, I was being courted by wealthy Sir Wilberforce James, whose house was perched on the edge of the opposite cliff.
Yes, our back doorsteps faced each other, but across 702 feet of yawning chasm. At such a distance, I found it difficult to coo tender endearments without making myself appear something of a Carly. Or Charlie.
But each afternoon at 4:02 of the clock, the fair Amelia would appear on her back doarstep and shout across the gorge,
Sir Wilberforce!
Hello!
Could I borrow a cup of lump sugar?
Certainly, I'll bring it over.
I've got the kettle on. Perhaps you would join me in a pot of tea?
Delighted. I'll just put my bathing costume on.
So he donned his bathing costume, climbed 245 feet down his cliff, swam the Avon, climbed 245 feet up our cliff, and...
I'll be all right in a minute. Where's my cuppa?
Wilberforce?
Yes, Amelia.
The sugar? Did you bring the sugar?
The sugar?
So he climbed 245 feet down our cliff, swam the Avon, climbed 245 feet up his cliff, got the sugar, climbed 245 feet down his cliff, swam the Avon, climbed 245 feet up our cliff, and...
Oh, I'll be come back. I'll be all right. Where's my copper?
Wilberforce.
Yes, Amelia?
I said lump sugar.
Lump sugar.
No, Wilberforce, come back.
Oh, but Nicholas,
Cousin Amelia, the granulated sugar will serve. Science has now devised a means whereby, if you don't like it,
you can lump it.
But, Ichabod, perhaps Wilberforce would prefer to go back and change it.
Amelia, once and for all, it is not seemly for a Bristol alderman to climb up and down cliffs all day long. As you know, I'm a man who carries a lot of weight in the Southwest.
But surely this would reduce it, Sir Wilberforce.
I can't do it. I mean, up 245 feet, down 245 feet, up 245 feet, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. I can't do it.
But Wilberforce, are you not my Romeo?
Romeo, I'm just a ruddy yo-yo. Oh, I say, Cinnabon.
Ichabod.
Oh, Ichabod. Ichabod, you're an inventor. Can you not devise some easier means of crossing the gorge?
Yes, one should be able to span it. I have seen higher gorges.
Seen what?
Higher gorges.
Watch it, Fatty.
But how proud Bristol would be if it had its gorge spanned, you see. It's up to you, Dickie Bird.
Ichabod.
Go to it, lad.
Ichabod applied all his keen scientific genius to the problem. In the course of it, he discovered many important new scientific principles.
Look, Amelia, Sir Will, see how the lid of that kettle bobs up and down. What do you suppose makes it do that?
Steam.
Steam?
Yes, you know, the stuff we aldermen use for opening the city treasurer's registered letters.
But think, if you could only harness the energy in that kettle, you could pull a train with it.
Oh, ludicrous. How could you pull a train with a kettle? Why, you'd have the handle off in no time.
A big kettle, ever so big.
But, I mean, if you made it that big, the spout wouldn't go under the bridges.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Of course, if the bridge was very high...
Is that it? A high bridge? That's the answer to the Clifton Gorge.
Eureka!
Ichabod.
Oh, yeah.
But we want an entirely new principle of supporting the structure. Wait a minute. Sir Will, the answer is your moustache.
I'm not using that for shoring up bridges.
No, the principle of your moustache. See how it soars gracefully out into the air. Well, what supports it?
Just Jim.
No, it's suspended. We'll build a bridge modeled on your moustache. We'll suspend a bridge across the Clifton Gorge.
Hey, but how? I mean, what will you use for, if one may say such a word with the Bristol Watch Committee in the audience, suspenders?
I know the very thing. Steel horses with whipped ends.
Oh, wonderful. When do we start?
Right away. You steal the horses, I'll whip the ends.
On April the 1st, 1864, we arrived at the gorge with all our building material. It was a great moment.
Right. Sir Wilk, to you will be given the honor of taking the first hawser across to the other side.
Oh, I'm more moved than I can say, my dear Ick. But how do I get it across the gorge?
You climb 245 feet down one side, swim the
same... No, I couldn't do that again.
I say, just a minute, you fellas.
I say, hats off, it's the Lord Mayor of Bristol.
What are you doing here, all that cable?
We are going to build a suspension bridge across the Clifton Gorge.
Oh, my dear people, look over to your left.
Over to the... Ick, look, they've already built a bridge while our back was turned.
Yes, built by Sambard Brunel, this bridge is no less than 245 feet above the Avon. You don't believe it? Throw something down. Count how long it is before the splash.
Really? Are you with me, Ick, Amelia?
Oh, with you, Will.
Fight.
One, two, three, four.
And so Bristol, as your Lord Mayor, sinks slowly into the Avon. Type says farewell.
Night all.
Cantell and the Bristol Variety Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Benton, Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Elmer Cogan, June Whitfield, and the keynote. The announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and
take it from me.